Today's gospel is the account of one of Jesus' appearances to his disciples when they had locked themselves in the upper room in Jerusalem. To appreciate what's going on here, it's helpful for us to remember what the 11 had been through the past few days, what their state of mind and their state of the heart, their hearts would have been. So first of all, they would have been gripped with fear because of what happened to Jesus, fearing that they too would be arrested because they were his follower, maybe meet the same fate as he did. So there was fear, but then also they would have been conscious of their having abandoned the Lord in his time of need. And so they would have felt guilty and ashamed. And so they're in a pretty miserable place, locking themselves in the upper room because of their fear, because of their shame. And this is pretty much what we do as well. When we are ashamed or fearful, we turn inwards, locking ourselves into a place where we feel protected, hiding ourselves from others and even from God. It's a place where we try to achieve self-protection. We're protecting ourselves. It's a defense mechanism. We see Adam and Eve doing this after they committed the first sin, feeling guilty. What did they do? They hid from God. And what does God do? God doesn't wait for them to come to their senses. He doesn't wait for them to figure things out. But God sees that on our own power, we can't get out of this place of misery, this place of hiding because of our sin, this state of being locked into ourselves. And so what does God do when Adam and Eve are hiding in the garden? He walks right in to the garden. He goes to them. He goes to find his children who are suffering. And that's divine mercy, where in our state of being lost, in our state of protecting ourselves, hiding ourselves, God doesn't wait for us to figure it out, to get ourselves out of the misery that we're in, but God walks right into that place of misery. And so what do we see happening in today's gospel? Jesus doesn't wait for his apostles to figure things out, to get it together, to fix themselves, to get out of their miserable state, but rather he walks right through the locked doors into their midst. He does so to find his children who are suffering. And what does Jesus have to say to them when he walks into the upper room? He doesn't say, "Now you're going to feel my wrath because you abandoned me in my time of need." He doesn't say, "Now you'll get what you deserve." He doesn't say, "I'm really disappointed with you." But instead, he walks in their midst and says, "Shalom, peace be with you." He knows that his children can't make things right themselves, and so he makes it right for them. He comes into their midst and pronounces peace and establishes peace and reconciliation with them. And this is divine mercy. This is what God does. So in the gospel today, then, after Jesus says, "Peace be with you," once, he says, "Peace be with you," a second time, as if to help them really to believe it. It's really true. He says, "Peace, I come bringing peace." And then he continues, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he does something that's very strange. He breathes on them. Hopefully a good breath. He breathes on them. So what's Jesus doing here? Well, he's doing a symbolic action that brings us back, like so many things, to the book of Genesis, to the very beginning. What do we read in the second creation story in Genesis chapter 2 when God creates the man? Well, he forms the man out of the dust of the earth, and what does he do? He breathes the breath of life into the man. And we're told that the man becomes a living being because of the breath that God has breathed into him. So what's the gospel trying to tell us? That it's this breath of life that God, that Jesus breathes into his disciples, forgiving their sins, is his creating them anew. They are his new creation. Some of the fathers of the church talk about how our redemption is even a greater miracle than our creation. That God created us, but then we fell. But God loves us so much that he chooses to recreate us in his grace and love and mercy. So he breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit, he says to his disciples, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Again, very curious. Do we read this closely? Do we try to hear this closely? What does Jesus do here? Well, he forgives his disciples. And this gift of forgiveness, which includes his breathing the Holy Spirit into them, which gives them new life, which recreates them. Having done that for them, what does he want them to do? He wants them to go out and do that for others. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. And so what's he doing here? Well, they're his priest. Just a few days earlier, they had become his priest at the Last Supper. That's where we celebrate the institution of the Holy Eucharist, but also the institution of the priesthood. So he's already made them his priest, and now he gives them their mandate. As he has forgiven them, as he has shown them the divine mercy, now they are to be instruments of that same divine mercy and allow others through them to experience divine mercy. And so what's Jesus talking about here? It's the sacrament of reconciliation. That Jesus wants everybody to experience what he himself has given the disciples. Now through them, they'll experience the same thing. They'll be instruments of his mercy. I often think back to this, I have preached about this before, probably here, but I often go back to this conversation that I had with an elderly gentleman. I was offering to go and anoint him and his wife, and he gratefully accepted, and then I said, you know, I'm happy to hear your confession before the anointing, which is just, confession is a normal part of the anointing ritual. You go to confession and then you're anointed. It's an optional part, but it's a normal part. So I mentioned that, and he said, well, Father, I go directly to God. And so we talked about that a little bit, but I just thought, you weren't taught right. That's not true. Because the sacrament is going directly to God. That's where we find God directly. That's where Jesus communicates himself to us directly. That's why he commissioned his disciples to go out and forgive sins in his name. So that as they have experienced him directly, now he gives them the gift that enables other people to experience him directly through them. So it's the gift of divine mercy. How great is the gift of divine mercy. In the gospel today, Jesus stands, and as Jesus is saying, "Peace be with you," he's holding up his hands and showing them his wounds. And what are his wounds? Well, they're the signs of the sins of the disciples and all the rest of us. Why did Jesus have to suffer so? It's because of my sin and because of your sin. So as Jesus is saying, "Peace be with you," he's holding up the wounds that he suffered because of my sin and because of your sin. And he's saying, "I forgive you this." The worst possible sin in the world, the crucifixion of God, the death, the murder of God, which we are responsible for, Jesus forgives. And so he never wants us to think that there's anything that we can do that's so bad that he can't forgive us, because he's already forgiven the worst possible thing, which is his own death on the cross. There's no sin that we can commit that God can't forgive, that God doesn't want to forgive. That's not easy for God to forgive. It's so easy for him to forgive us. And he's so happy when we, having read the gospel and reflected on the gospel, go to him with great confidence. When we go to his minister of mercy with great confidence in the sacrament of reconciliation, that's the place where he shows us the divine mercy. So today, let's be so grateful that God doesn't wait for us to figure out how to win his mercy, that he gives it to us freely. He provides so many opportunities for it. Let's give thanks that he's not angry with us or disappointed with us or discouraged by us or frustrated by us, but rather he just stands ready to show us his mercy because he loves to. As Father Bob wrote in the bulletin this week, God loves to forgive us. Jesus loves to forgive us. That's why he came to this world. If we go to confession 1,000 times, every time we show up, he's so happy that we're there. We might be disgusted with ourselves because of our sins. Jesus is not disgusted with us. He's so happy that once again we've turned back to him, that we trust him enough to turn back to him every time we are in need of his mercy. So let's ask the grace today. Let's ask the Lord for his grace for us and for his whole church, that what Pope Francis has called the most neglected sacrament, the sacrament of reconciliation, will be practiced by Catholics, loved and revered by Catholics, that we would experience God's great mercy for us so frequently there, freely there, with gratitude there, as a celebration of his mercy. So we can ask the Lord for that grace. Very often, if I feel like I should do something, but I'm fearful to, or don't know how I'm going to motivate myself to do something, I just ask God to give me the grace to do it. So if we know that we should go to confession, and for whatever reason we just feel impeded to go, or maybe it's just we have a closed heart to going, which is normal in our life, we can say to the Lord, "Please open my heart to this. I know that I should. I know that you want me to, but I don't want to. So please change my heart, Lord." And God's so pleased to grant the humble and honest prayers of his children. So today we, as Jesus comes to us once again, the risen Lord, offering himself to us in this Eucharist, let's be so grateful for his mercy that we have the forgiveness of sins. Let's ask for the grace to always approach him, to receive that divine mercy whenever we are in need of forgiveness.